You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Oh, the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of MLB. Host Aaron Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, and I'll be rolling the solo dolo tonight. Jeff and I were both at the game, but the game went long, and Jeff has a much farther commute than I do, so I volunteered to take this one on my own. We're going to talk about the Dodgers' loss to the Giants, 7-2 loss in Game 1 of a four-game series, Tony Gonsolin's struggles, Victor Gonzalez's struggles, some injury updates, and just some general talk about the Dodgers. But before all that, a quick reminder to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. So, like I said, the Dodgers lost 7-2. It was not a great start, and then it was kind of fun for a little bit, and then it just got less fun as time went on. Tony Gonsolin gave up 3 runs in the first inning, including back-to-back home runs to Buster Posey and Wilmer Flores. The Dodgers came back and scored 2 runs of their own on back-to-back home runs by father of the San Francisco Giants, Max Muncy, and Justin Turner. It was just a weird game. We talked about a little bit yesterday how this game wasn't necessarily a throwaway game with Gonsolin versus Gausman, but it's one of those where the Dodgers had their work cut out for them in order to win. And then if I would have told you that Kevin Gausman exited the game after 3 innings and giving up 2 runs, you would have thought the Dodgers' chances of winning that game would have been upped significantly. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. The Dodgers let Gausman off the ropes a little bit, had 2 runners on in the first inning after the 2 home runs, had bases loaded in the second inning, weren't able to capitalize and weren't able to get in any more runs, never able to take the lead. And I think that was a big part of it. You know, momentum is something that can be greatly debated and contested as to whether it's real or not, but I do think the Dodgers would have benefited from seeing themselves at least tie the game or take the lead. And obviously, with that also comes the fact that Dave Roberts may have managed the bullpen a little bit differently, may have used some different arms in just different situations. At the end of the day, the Dodgers' offense, while they struck hot in the first inning, cooled off the rest of the way. They didn't have any hits against the Giants relievers until the ninth inning when A.J. Pollock had a leadoff single, or at least a single in the ninth inning, whatever it was. And yeah, that's really what I'm going to talk about right now. The offense, it just couldn't come together against a collection of arms from the Giants. It's a good sign that the Dodgers were able to get into the Giants' pen in the fourth inning. The good part, because they're going to see a lot of these guys right now, and they still have to face the Giants 3 more times and 6 more times in the next 9 days. So it's a good look to get at some of these guys. But the other part is that they didn't do anything with the first look, and that's not always a beneficial sign for the Dodgers offense. Mookie Betts was a late scratch. He was going to start in his normal leadoff position, and then before the game he was scratched. Zach Rex, who is now back on the active roster because of Gavin Lux going on the injured list with the left hamstring strain, also got a start in the outfield. And honestly, it just came down to the Dodgers not being able to get that one big hit early in the game in the first 3 innings, and then not being able to get any hit later in the game as the game went on. Zach Rex came up in a couple key situations, wasn't able to make contact and put the ball in play. Tony Gonsolin had a chance to give the Dodgers an extra run 90 feet away, wasn't able to get the bunt down. Later on, there was a wild pitch and probably would have scored the run had the runner been on third base. So just missed opportunities there all around on the Dodgers offensively. I mean, I guess there's not really too much to say other than that they struggled and didn't look too great doing so. And you would hope that they can figure things out the rest of this series. There's only one way the Dodgers can leave this series with a lead in the division, and that's if they win the next three games. They will be one game ahead. If they end up splitting the series in general, they will leave. Well, the Giants will leave still in first place. So the Dodgers have the work cut out for them. They're facing Alex Wood on Tuesday and should have Albert Pujols and AJ Pollock for sure in the lineup, and we'll see what else happens. Mookie Betts, who, like I mentioned earlier, was a late scratch. He did pinch hit in the ninth inning and struck out against Jake McGee. Dave Roberts said that he should be in the lineup on Tuesday, that it doesn't really hurt him, or his hip doesn't really hurt or irritate him when he's at the plate. It's more so when he has to run a lot. He would have had to run a lot, or at least maybe not on the bases, but he would have had to run a lot out there in right field as Zach Rex stayed busy and made some couple nice plays that Mookie Betts probably would have made as well. So we'll continue to monitor Mookie's situation. Like I mentioned, Lux, it was called a mild cramp slash strain after Sunday's game. It turned out, I think, to be significantly more than that. He went on the injured list very fast, and Dave Roberts said it might be quite some time before Gavin Lux is back. I'm not sure if that's exact wording, but basically, he didn't say he's going to be back anytime soon. So with that news, Corey Seager, who has been rehabbing from his broken bone in his left arm, one of those arms, he may be activated as early as Wednesday, and who knows, after the performance on Monday, maybe the Dodgers go ahead and activate him on Tuesday today, but we'll see. If that's true that he comes back on Wednesday, it's a big boost to the Dodgers offensively, assuming Seager can get back to where he should be on offense, and gives them a shortstop to free up Chris Taylor to play second base, now with Lux out. And overall, I mean, it's just a... it's a blessing for Corey Seager to be back. We're not sure exactly how he's going to come back. We've discussed in length about how hard it is to come back when you haven't swung for a while or when you get limited swings. Dave Roberts did say that Corey is someone that knows his swing, so that's why he doesn't really need a rehab assignment and should be ready to go very soon. But just like that, I mean, the Dodgers get a guy on the verge of coming back and lose one maybe for quite some time, and it's something that could escalate the talks that we had a little bit last week on the show when we talked about trade deadline pieces. Obviously the Dodgers need starting pitching, we know that. They probably need a couple relievers, we know that. But we did talk about maybe an infielder or another position player, and with Lux going down, they probably do need one of those. Seager will be at short. Chris Taylor can back him up. McKinstry can also play short. But with Lux out and Taylor maybe having to fill in occasionally here and there in center or left field or even right field, depending how Mookie is, that it would greatly benefit the Dodgers to go out and get somebody that can hit and can play the infield and maybe even play the outfield. I know those types of players don't just grow on trees, but we can trust that Andrew Friedman is definitely looking for someone in that mold and someone to get on this roster. It wasn't like Gavin Lux was hitting particularly well anyways. And if Corey Seager takes a while to get back to hitting the way he's supposed to hit, the Dodgers could need someone rather than just be a luxury of someone who can hit and play the infield. We've talked about Cody Bellinger's struggles. We're not sure how long those are going to take. And then Mookie Betts is just, you know, injured on and off and has missed days here and there. So offensively, the Dodgers, the need for an extra piece offensively probably became a little greater with Gavin Lux going on the injured list this close to the trade deadline. But we'll see what happens there. I'm going to come back and going to talk about Tony Gonsolin, Victor Gonzalez, and just some other guys out of the bullpen. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why wait for the person behind the counter to order the part on their computer when you can order the part you need at rockauto.com, because you have access to computers at home and in your pocket? Save time and money when choosing Rock Auto. They're also a family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years And the best part is their prices are reliably low for every customer. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com and find whatever you need on their easy-to-navigate website and pay the same price no matter who you are, if you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, I'm back and going to talk about a couple guys who were very good for the Dodgers in 2020 and have yet to find themselves pitching that well in 2021. That's Tony Gonsolin and Victor Gonzalez. Now, we've talked about Tony Gonsolin at length in the recent weeks because of his struggles and because of the Dodgers' need for him to step up and be a serviceable starting pitcher in order for Andrew Friedman's job to be a little easier. It's a lot easier to find one starting pitcher than it is to find two starting pitchers. But other than one five-inning outing against the Marlins, Tony Gonsolin just has not been that great the entire year. It's been a mix of ineffectiveness, injuries, velocity drop, and lack of command that has plagued Tony Gonsolin the entire season. Much more of the same here on Monday. He didn't have command of his pitches, it appeared. He said that his command was really bad in the post-game interview. And honestly, after the first inning, he wasn't that bad. He threw over 30 pitches in that first inning, gave up the two home runs. One was a mistake to Posey, the other was a mistake to Flores. He mentioned that those were two mistake pitches, obviously. But, you know, the fact of the matter with Posey is that he was down, I think, 3-0, ended up working it back to 3-2, but then left a pitch over the plate to Posey, who deposited into the left field pavilion with Wilmer Flores. He just misplaced a fastball, I believe, and it went once again over the wall in left field. And, you know, one thing that was interesting is that Tony Gonsolin didn't throw too many fastballs. I believe around less than half his pitches were, or 30 of his 80 or 81 pitches were fastballs, which is not ideal, which means he probably didn't have command for the fastball, which may be why he was avoiding it. But the other thing is that if you are avoiding the fastball because you don't have command, you're throwing a lot of breaking balls and off-speed pitches. And if you're not throwing them in the strike zone and guys aren't swinging at them when they get out of the zone, then you're in for a long night. And that's what happened with Tony Gonsolin. And I think it just really exacerbates the problem for Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers front office for this trade deadline. They already know that they are down a man in Trevor Bauer, who's probably not going to pitch for the Dodgers again this season. Clayton Kershaw is currently on the injured list, but seems to be going well. Should be back in a couple weeks. But the Dodgers need somebody to come in the innings. They need at least one starting pitcher, and now probably two. Tony Gonsolin, it's been long enough, and you know, if the injury in the shoulder is what's bothering him, then that's a bigger issue at whole. But if it's not bothering him to the point of creating ineffectiveness, then he's just being ineffective as a pitcher, and that's not going to work for the Dodgers. Now, I have mentioned that the Dodgers need someone to go out there and throw five or six innings and maybe give up three, four, five runs. Yeah, I would take that from Tony Gonsolin at this point, going five or six innings every time out, even if he was allowing three or four runs. I can take that. But this time he allowed three runs, didn't make it out of the fourth inning, and leaves the Dodgers in a predicament because they are going to throw essentially another bullpen game on Tuesday. We should mention that Josiah Gray will in fact be activated for tonight's game. He will not be the starting pitcher. The Dodgers will use an opener, a left-handed pitcher, Dave Roberts mentioned, and then Josiah Gray will fill in after that. He just went 4 1/3 innings for OKC Dodgers after having an opener in the last time he threw, so at least he has some familiarity there. And hopefully for the Dodgers, he can give them a little bit of length. I would imagine he's going to be around 70, 75 pitches, maybe 80 pitches. I believe he threw around 65 the last time he was out. So we'll see how that goes for the Dodgers. But it's just another, you know, they don't know what they're going to get out of Josiah Gray, which is why it would made it even more imperative for Tony Gonsolin to have at least a start of length on Monday, and he couldn't even do that. So it's coming to the point where maybe this is what Tony Gonsolin is this season, and the Dodgers are going to have to go get maybe more than one starting pitcher. Now, they really only need one starting pitcher of legitimate caliber to add to a potential playoff rotation, but the other guy is kind of more of an innings eater type, and you know, we continue to harp on it, but the Dodgers will need innings eaten by someone not in the starting rotation currently between Buehler, Kershaw, and Julio. Julio's already over his career high. Buehler and Kershaw also coming off a short season and, you know, want to be rested for October. So, Andrew Friedman, if you're listening out there, go get two starting pitchers and let's figure it out after the fact. But when it comes to relievers, you know, the Dodgers may also need a left-handed reliever. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe on or a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was, that the Dodgers may need a left-handed reliever, or at least a reliever who can be counted on in later innings to get outs from right and left-hand side of the plate. The Dodgers put out a handful of left-handed relievers and not great returns for some of them. Scott Alexander did not do very well. Victor Gonzalez gave up most of the hits and runs there in the seventh inning that where the Giants broke it open. Garrett Clevenger has shown some flashes and maybe a guy they try to develop. Alex Vesia struggled early on with command and control, but has seemingly turned that around in the minors and has looked pretty good so far in his couple appearances here. But, you know, with what the Dodgers have and what the Dodgers need, left-handed reliever might be one of those. One guy that could help out and could be a potential seemingly like a July 31st trade pickup is Corey Kniebel, who's been throwing. He threw a simulated game and faced Corey Seager and was out 15 to 18 pitches, so it might be a little while before he's stretched out. He'll probably go on a rehab assignment and hopefully join the Dodgers maybe here in mid-August, which was kind of an expected timeline when he first went down. So that'll be a big boost to the Dodgers bullpen. Jimmy Nelson hasn't started throwing yet. He's been bugged. You know, David Price is in the starting rotation now, so that's another left-handed reliever that they had down. It's another one of those things where, even with the fact that relievers are volatile, you have now seen half a season from Victor Gonzalez, and he just hasn't shown what he showed in 2020. I know that some of his spin rates are down. I think Choice underscore Fielder pointed that part out. We had talked about before where he didn't have good control, and maybe the sticky stuff was a big help for him in terms of spin rate and control, but he struggled before that, before they started cracking down on that earlier in the regular season as well. So I don't think it all boils down to that. It might be part of that and why he struggled more recently. I thought that the time on the injured list with the plantar fasciitis, if that was a true and real injury, maybe that was an issue. And if he's pitching in pain and not pitching in pain, you know, the good part, I guess, is that he did throw strikes last night. The bad part is that a lot of those strikes were base hits and not swinging strikes. He did get, you know, a little bit of BABIP to death there with a couple of those hits beating the shift. But just wasn't able to miss bats. And when you're not able to miss bats with against a team like the Giants, who are honestly a pretty good offensive team, they're going to get you. And he, you know, got and wasn't effective at all. And, you know, the Dodgers, however close they were before, which was, you know, 4-2, I think, at the point when he came in, it ended up being 7-2. And just, yeah, it just got out of hand. So the Dodgers adding to the list earlier of an established or somewhat established offensive weapon slash infielder. They need two starting pitchers and they need a left-handed reliever or somebody that can get hitters out from both sides of the plate. That's a lot to put on people's plates. But, you know, with the Dodgers, the other part is, and kind of how we talked about this the other day, that the Dodgers, despite everything that's happened, they are two games out of first place. They have the second best record in baseball. But that's not a consolation, especially for a team like the Dodgers, where they expect to win the division year in and year out. So they're going to just have to play better. We talked about how this stretch of seven games against the Giants wasn't necessarily going to determine the division, but it was going to see, you know, show who the Dodgers are and how they are. And regardless if they're not fully healthy at this point, most teams aren't fully healthy, so you can't really use that as an excuse. The fact of the matter was that they weren't in the game yesterday, even with Gonsolin and Gausman being a bit of a mismatch on paper, and they just weren't able to get it done. So it's a matter of the Dodgers playing better offensively, defensively, and pitching-wise. And, you know, the Giants are, like we've mentioned, they're a good team. They seem to be here to stay, at least for the next 2 months. And it's up to the Dodgers to knock them off at this time. So I'm going to come back, talk a little bit more about that and a little bit about the rest of the league and where people stand and how that might affect the Dodgers trade deadline. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, with Jeff, with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host a Locked On Dodgers room once a week, and you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You have a chance to chat with Jeff and I every week as we host the Green Room and take on questions, comments, and concerns from listeners. Go download the free Green Room app today. Currently available on all iOS devices. You can create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Make sure to follow Jeff at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live every week. We can't wait to hear your thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, let's finish up this last segment just talking about the Dodgers and kind of the rest of the league in regards to how the trade deadline is shaping up. Now, the Dodgers, in general, have to play better. They are two games behind the Giants right now and just have to play better against the Giants and Padres specifically. They've done a good job of handling most of the other teams and you know, taking down the weaker teams. But against the Giants and Padres, who are their direct competition in the NL West, they do need to play better. They've played well against the Giants so far this season, but it's still either only one game better than them so far or split. So, you know, these next six games in the next 9 days are going to be a big part of that and how they, you know, are to be taken seriously. Obviously, the Giants are being taken seriously, but Dodgers do have to take them seriously and do have to win games when they matter. And right now, these games are the ones that matter because they're the games in front of them. But when it comes to trade deadline, I mentioned earlier, you know, the Dodgers could benefit from having a few extra pieces join the team before the July 31st trade deadline. But just looking around the league, I did a video for my job today taking a look at the NL and which team should be buyers or sellers. And honestly, the Mets in the NL East have muddled things a little bit. They've struggled, and they just lost Lindor and DeGrom to the injured list. So their lead in the division is down to two games over the Phillies, and then the Braves and Nationals are each within striking distance, which means that all those teams theoretically can be buyers if they really wanted to. They don't really have a chance at the wild card. The Dodgers, Padres are far and ahead of most teams in the wild card. The Padres, the next closest after the Padres is the Reds, who are 5.5 games back of the Padres as of before the game started on Monday. So, yeah, the Nationals, the Braves, and the Phillies. Phillies don't necessarily have anyone the Dodgers could use, probably. The Braves, we've talked about Charlie Morton. The Dodgers could definitely use him. The Nationals have Max Scherzer. The Dodgers could definitely use him. So it's a matter of, you know, will those teams decide whether to buy or sell in the next 10 days? It's very possible. They could lose a few games. The Mets could win a few games. And they could say, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's sell off what we can or sell off any expiring assets and, you know, figure out what happens the rest of the way this season and next season. When you go to the NL Central, the Brewers are up seven games in that division. It's probably a lock at this point. They're playing too well, and they have very strong starting pitching. But the Reds, who are closer in the wild card than they are into the division, they have a couple assets that the Dodgers could use, but I'm not necessarily sure that they are going to sell because of the fact that they're kind of close, and the Padres could falter with some of these injuries they've been dealing with as well, and the Reds could step up. They do have a strong offense. They would need a couple bullpen pieces to help them out, so that's the case of the matter there. When it comes to the Cubs and Cardinals, they're both probably out in the division and in the wild card. The bad part for the Cardinals is that they don't really have any assets. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, and they have a lot of young players and a lot of guys that are, you know, going to be around for a while and are not on Goldschmidt, and a lot of young players who should be around for a while. So they need health more than anything. They don't really have any starting pitching that could benefit the Dodgers that they'd be willing to part with. I don't think they have anyone in the bullpen particularly strong. Maybe Andrew Miller could be a guy on the move if they want to, you know, deal him. So that may be a name to keep an eye on there, but he's more of a name than too much of an effective reliever at this point. Now, the Cubs are interesting, and we've talked about them before. They do have Chris Bryant, who could potentially boost the Dodgers' offense. They do have Kyle Hendricks and Kyle Davies. I believe they're both Kyles. One of those has dominated the Dodgers and was one of the ones that helped no-hit them not too long ago. Kyle Hendricks is a guy who's an innings eater, doesn't throw that hard, but is an effective guy, and definitely someone that you can slot in fourth in your playoff rotation if you really wanted to and not be too upset about it. I'm not sure what the asking price is going to be on those guys, but, you know, the Dodgers can definitely inquire. So between all those, you know, you got Scherzer, you got Morton, you got Hendricks, you got Davies. Those are guys that could potentially be Dodgers before July 31st. Now, this is me, you know, take all this with a grain of salt because, you know, some of these teams might not decide to sell. And with so many teams needing starting pitching, obviously that drives the prices up. And the Dodgers don't have the prospect. They don't have the prospect depth they've had in recent years, and they don't have the prospect quality they've had in recent years. Keibert Ruiz is probably the main guy, and he's a guy that can slot into the major leagues as soon as he's traded, and definitely for sure in 2022. So that's going to be a hot commodity, definitely for the Dodgers, a catcher that can slot in and be an everyday guy. But, you know, do teams, which teams need catchers? Which teams would want a catcher like that? Are they the teams that have starting pitching? Who knows? Are they the teams that have bullpen help? Who knows? Are they the team that has maybe potential infield help? Who knows? But, you know, Keibert Ruiz for like an Adam Frazier, I don't know if that's something that would ever be possible. That's just something I'm throwing out because we talked about Adam Frazier the other day, and Keibert Ruiz is a capable catcher. I'm not even sure who the Pirates catcher is, if they have a catcher of the future. That's just me talking and throwing names out there. So, you know, the fact of the matter is in the AL, it's a little bit different, where the AL East is a two-team race, maybe a three-team race. You can throw the Blue Jays in there. You got the Central, which is basically the White Sox. The Indians are a little bit further back, but the Indians are always finding ways to buy more than they're finding ways to sell. And when they have sold, it has been starting pitching. But I don't think they have the starting pitching depth that they used to have because they've traded all those guys away. And then you got the AL West, which is kind of a two-team race with the Astros and the A's. The Angels definitely don't have any pitchers that the Dodgers would want other than Shohei Ohtani, and I don't think they're trading him. And then you got the Mariners, who, you know, are probably good enough to sell some of the assets that may be expiring or close to expiring, but nothing that really turns the needle for the Dodgers, I don't think. And then the Rangers have Kyle Gibson, who's another guy the Dodgers could use. But it's just all a big jumble at this point. There's still too many buyers, not enough sellers at this particular point. Danny Duffy is also another name that we've mentioned in case you haven't been listening to these episodes. But, you know, the picture should become a little more clear here in the next week. Some teams may be falling out. Some teams may be falling in or climbing in. But for the most part, there's not too many teams that realistically, you know, not that they don't realistically have a shot, but realistically at this point in time, if you're more than six games back, that's quite a climb. You're expecting the team in front of you or teams in front of you to fall back and play worse, and you're expecting yourself to play better than you have all season. So let's let this picture get a little more clear. Andrew Friedman, I believe Mark Feinsand of MLB.com or wherever he's from, he said the Dodgers are on a, I forget the exact wording, basically kind of like on a war path to find starting pitching. That's obvious that we know that they need starting pitching, and it's obvious to probably everyone else that they need starting pitching. A lot of teams need starting pitching. So it's just going to have to shake out, and we'll see the way it shakes out. It's going to be an interesting next 11 days or so before the trade deadline, and we'll have to see what happens. But the fact of the matter is, even if the Dodgers don't make any moves, which would surprise me, but if they don't make any moves at all, they still have to play better, and they have the capability to do so. They have all-stars at almost every position. They have at least three strong starting pitchers, and then Tony Gonsolin and David Price could be a strong starting pitcher. He just might not be able to give you the length that you want, even if he stretched out the rest of the way, but he's looked really good so far this season. Got his fastball back up in the mid-90s and looking really good. So the Dodgers have all the pieces in place already to win the division and challenge the Giants and keep the Padres away. It's just a matter of, you know, get better. And they've done that plenty of times in the past at the deadline, and that's why I expect Friedman to do it again. But we'll just have to see. Well, that's going to do it for me for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Maybe Jeff and I will be back tomorrow. He was still deciding if he wanted to go to the game or not. We'll be, either one of us or both of us will be here tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already done so, make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to spread our name, Locked On Dodgers, by word of mouth, and get more people's listening and maybe more people becoming loyal and valued listeners. If you aren't listening every single day, Monday through Friday already, please try to do that. Or if not, at least bump it up. If you're doing two times a week, bump it to three to four, four to five, whatever it is. Bump it up a little bit more and, you know, help us out. And we'll always try to help you out by providing Dodgers analysis and other things of that nature. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!